Succession number 10741, Rule 2.
Mr. T's Rule 2. You were saying about the damage to the stock.
Well, it just on the stern, that's all. Looked a bit of a mess, really, but it didn't stop us sailing back to Rosyth.
So you were temporarily taken off stock at that time?
No, I remained aboard the ship. They paid the ship off. About four of us stayed on board, key ratings, until she was repaired.
What were your duties then?
Well, mainly looking after the signals and ciphers in harbour, confidential mail and things like that. Because the captain's still aboard, you see. I was literally a sort of secretary come dog's body till she was repaired.
How long did that take?
Oh, about, must be about 4 or 5 months, probably more.
Did the shipyard workers work well during the war to get ships repaired?
Oh, yes, yeah. We were at Leith. Well, Grangemouth, really, but Leith did the main part. But we were at Grangemouth docks. I think we had about 6 months leave, really, on that.
Which part of the year of 1940 was it being repaired? Which season?
September to about January, I think. Within the winter months, anyhow.
During the time of Dunkirk, you were aboard the stock then.
Yes.
Were you in the Channel at that time?
No, we just left Norway. We were in Norway.
Maybe we can talk about the Norwegian campaign
now. Yeah, we were in Norway.
What are your first memories of going to Norway?
We went to Norway about April 1940, and we just missed the second battle. And my first impression was going up to Harstad, very cold weather, and we passed the Eskimo, Travel Glasses, with the bows blown off. And you could literally smell death. You know, this cold weather. I can still remember that, passing the Eskimo, the whole bow is blown off.
What was the smell like?
Well, it smells like death. Probably wasn't death. It was an unusual smell.
What happened next?
But we went up to Narvik then, and we carried on patrolling, anti-UFO patrolling, aircraft patrol, mainly with the Southampton, the flagship cruiser.
Were there any contacts with the U-boats, do you know?
No, definitely not. Lots of aircraft died bombing. We had fresh salmon every other day, I think.
Bought from the Norwegian?
Oh, when they came over, the bombers, once we got away, we sent the picket boat out and picked all the dead salmon floating about.
There were masses of salmon floating about in the sea?
Well, we used to pick them up, yeah, because it's fresh water there, isn't it, in the fjord.
So there's more than you could eat?
I wouldn't say that. We enjoyed it because we were a bit low on rations, really, you know. Fresh stuff.
Did the dive bombers hit the stock?
No. We had one or two near misses.
What kind of evasive measures would the captain take?
Well, in a narrow field, it's very difficult, you know. I'll give you an instance now. You know, I think we lost the first troop ship in England, the British troop ship in Norway. It was a Polish cruiser, the Crowbury.
How do you spell it?
C-H-R-O-B-R-Y, I think it is. I'm almost sure, I can't prove this, that was the first troop ship to have been lost during the war. She was full of Irish guards, and we were on the way from Harstad, because if you recall, that we were given Norway, weren't we? And I think we had the Wolverine with us, a destroyer. And I can still remember the captain of the Crowbury, obviously a commodore of a convoy, telling our captain, well, to be sure of the ubiquitous U-boat, why not go astern? Because we were more or less worrying about the U-boat, but he was worrying more about the fighters. And within seconds, they came down and just raked her with firebombs. We lost her. Our captain got the DSC, because we had to go alongside and pick all the crew off. And the soldiers could do.
How did this troop ship go down?
She was bomb, firebomb. Just set on fire, absolutely. Just blazing wreck. But we rescued most of the, well, all the troops and that. We had one or two other destroyers near us.
Did you see the ship sink?
No, I didn't see it, no. Say it again, I was down below.
Did you speak to any of the survivors?
No, no.
Were they kept separate?
I can't remember now, because we went straight back to Harstad. Not far away, I suppose, really.
And whereabouts was the troop ship sunk? Off Narvik?
No, towards Harstad, really. It's in one of the fjords, anyhow.
Was it hard work for the crew of the Stork off Norway?
Yes, very. I think mainly the anti-aircraft crews. We were very busy. We had quite regular attacks from the Jerrys.
What else do you remember about being off Norway?
Well, the main thing I remember is when we left Norway, we were the last convoy to leave, Stork and the Arrow, and seven merchant ships. And we had a merchant ship, I think it was an ammunition ship, the Invergord. We could only do about 6 knots. So, of course, the speed of the convoy, the speed of the slowest ship, and we were crawling along there. And we actually passed through the wreckage of the Glorious.
What did it look like?
Well, we got a mess deck tools and things like that. The ship was sunk, and the attendant destroyed it, the Acasta and the Ardente, wasn't it? And we could recognise the stool, because being an ex-destroyer man, Dunderpole stools, we passed right through them.
Well, did you look for survivors?
Well, no, we knew she'd gone. We'd had the cipher message, you see.
Were there any bodies in the water?
No.
When did you take up Atlantic convoy duties on the Stork?
Well, we were based at Londonderry to start with in June 41, that's right. And we went down to West Africa. Our captain at the time was sick, so the first tenant took over, a fellow called Gray, Lieutenant Gray. We came back to Derry, and within a matter of weeks, Captain Walker joined. As a commander then, and he took over the ship, and we went down to Gibraltar about November 41, did what they call Blood Orange Patrol in the Straits, and then came back with convoy HG-76, which was a fairly big convoy. It was a convoy that was supposed to have broken the back of the U-boats.
Can you tell me in detail what you remember about HG-76?
Well, this convoy left Jib in December 1941, and when we went to the convoy conference, we realised it was going to be a fairly big, important convoy, because the escort had been doubled by addition of other outlying escort vessels. I think there are about 32 ships involved in the convoy. And we had the first escort carrier, which was the Audacity, a converted merchant ship. And I think the convoy lasted about 10 to 14 days. During that time, we lost two merchant ships. The Audacity was sunk, and the American destroyer Stanley, which we, you know, the 99-year release thing. And we shut down four Fokker Wolfs, I think, and killed four U-boats. Now, one of the big kills there was done by the Stork, our ship. The U-boat that had sunk Stanley was astern of us, and our Captain Walk had a very special depth charge operation called Buttercup, Operation Buttercup, where they released all their depth charges astern. Immediately, as soon as you got a contact, they dropped all the depth charge and then carried out the normal attack. And the Stanley was had just been torpedoed. We carried on the counter-attack. And it took us about half an hour, I suppose. And the Stork and the U-boat, U-574, were going around in ever-diminishing circles. So in the end, we managed to get the ram in. We couldn't use any guns because they were too near to depress the guns. The first lieutenant did use a Strip Lewis gun, kill one or two on there, and we rescued four German sailors, and they came back on the Stork. And the next night, after this had gone, the Deptford rammed us by mistake, thought we were a U-boat. And it's always amazed me, apparently two of those four U-boat sailors were SS men. I believe they used to carry SS men in the ships. And they were lost. Because this Deptford went into the cabin where they were prisoners. The two ordinary lads were saved, but the SS fellows went. Which is most unusual, really.
Did you see this circling of the U-boat yourself?
The circling?
When you were chasing the U-boat?
Oh, no, I was in the office again.
But you felt the collision, did you?
Oh, yes, we felt there, yeah. There's one thing where I helped one of the U-boat sailors up the scrambling net, and he spat at me.
Why did he spit?
I didn't throw him back. He was one of the chaps who had lost.
What was this buttercup technique exactly? How did it differ from the ordinary depth charging?
Well, I'm trying to think, I'm not a depth charging man myself, but normally, if you got a contact, you'd carry out an attack. Well, Walker's idea was to plaster the area. Just drop a whole load of... And then what happened then, normally, he'd contact other ships and they'd carry on doing the same. It's rather a long-winded thing, really, you know. They developed it into the creeping attack. But I wouldn't like to sort of be another communication man to try and explain it fully.
Can you tell me about Walker, what he was like?
Yes, a lot. Another born leader of men. My view, born leader of men.
How did he differ from Mountbatten?
I should think he had more experience of seamanship, for one thing. See, Mountbatten was predominantly a long-service signal officer, wasn't he? I'm not saying he wasn't a good captain, but Walker had the experience. And he certainly knew anti-U-boat technique because he was a specialist. But he was a very, very... a direct man. Didn't suffer fools and lad. Tall and aggressive looking.
He expected people to do their jobs properly.
Without doubt.
What would he do if they didn't?
Well, he'd let them know, wouldn't he?
Did you ever have any clashes with him?
No, I was always in pretty good terms with the skipper, really. I think I found out what he was going to be like when we were having this, when we had this patrol in Strait of Gibraltar before this convoy, which is going on. The dynamo went off the board.
The what?
The dynamo, ship dynamo, because we lost power. Well, being a bit worried, I went on the bridge. We've lost power, so the wire said, that's your job. That's all he said. So I nipped down below and tried to do something else. And he sent me the next day, he said, well, look, I'm not interested in what you're doing. I'm trying to rely on you thoroughly. If you're in trouble, then, you know, let me know what's going on. But I'm not interested in that, really. you're the expert and carry on with it. I thought, oh, well, you can do what you want now as long as you straight up with the old man. He's a very good leader, but he wanted you to do his job as well. Does that answer that?
So he didn't want to be bothered with it if it was something you could do yourself?
True, yeah.
Was he liked by the other men, do you think?
Yes, without doubt. Straight the way through. The lowest lad to the highest officer.
Did he have a reputation in those days as a submarine killer?
No, he'd only just started then. See, when the war broke out, he was on the shelf, as they call it, as a commander, and his first job was with Admiral Ramsay and the evacuation of Dunkirk. Operation Dynamo.
Do you have any other memories of Convoy HG 76?
Well, I think really what I've just told you about the whole set of it was that U-574 being sunk and Stork being rammed. Otherwise, it was just the usual horrible convoy, really.
Why were convoys so horrible?
Well, I think the weather was one thing. I think Nicholas Montrap put it right with the cruel sea. It was a bit grim, you know, in the Atlantic. And a lot of deprivation. Because you didn't always have fresh food and that. And I remember once we were hove to for about 6 days. Just couldn't move. And then it gets a little bit boring, and particularly the weather, you see.
Were you able to get hot food?
Oh, yes. Normally, yeah.
So the galley wouldn't be out of commission?
No. Just change of food, you see. No Chinese restaurants.
Are there any other convoy incidents that stick out in your mind that happened to you that you can relate?
Well, they were all fairly, exciting convoys. And when we went to the Starling with Walker, that's another later on.
This was in April of 1943. Yes.
We joined Starling then. And we had some very exciting episodes then. We sunk six U-boats in one trip.
Which trip was that?
That was about 1944, wasn't it? It's in this book of Weems's book on the...
This is a book called Walker's Groups in the Western that. Approaches. You mean there were all those U-boats sunk on that particular convoy?
Yeah, on it wasn't a convoy. See, when we were with Walker in the Starling, she was a support group. In other words, they went between different convoys. If anybody shouted help, we went to them. You with me? We weren't a close escort group.
You were on call, in other words.
That's right, yeah. And there's it's very good here if you look at the... down there.
This is the list you're showing me of the U-boats that were sunk.
These were six that were sunk in one trip.
And this was from the end of January 44 to into February 1944.
February, that's right, yeah. These are all the U-boats we sunk, actually, on the 3rd Escort Group.
And we can see that they're credited to the various ships. Right. Starling, Wild Goose.
They're the ones who took part, the ones who first detected it, then the ones who destroyed it.
Did you actually see any of those U-boats destroyed?
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah.
What memories do you have of actually seeing them destroyed?
Well, mainly when the thing blew up, all the diesel fuel coming up and things like that, and we did have human remains on one, heart and lungs. In fact, the captain got them pickled and took them to Dardanelles for the proof.
Was there much hatred between the Royal Navy and the U-boat crews, do you think?
Well, when I was on K, kite. I went on kite once with Walker, and we sunk three or four ships in the Bay of Biscay, and we rescued almost a complete crew of one U-boat, and I found them very nice young men.
In what way?
Well, I don't know whether they'd only just joined up, and it was toward the end of the war as it was then. They were very decent sort of young lads, you know. I presume they thought we were the same.
But this one occasion with that earlier convoy, HG-76, that chap spat at you.
Well, that's to say, I didn't mention it. We thought he was an SS man.
So that was untypical, was it?
Well, what we've found at the minute.
Now, can we go back to Stork, and can you tell me about taking part in Operation Torch when the North Africa landings took place? What do you remember about that?
Well, we took a convoy out from somewhere in Scotland. Was it Lockyer? We took a store convoy out all the way down to Algiers. On the way out, just before we got to Algiers, we attacked a U-boat that was attacking the Rodney. And I think on that occasion we messed our Asdics up. So the Asdic was stuck, the dome. And that night we were torpedoed off Algiers.
Can you describe what happened?
Well, I thought we were in collision at first, because I was more or less asleep and a bit tired.
How many torpedoes seemed to hit?
Well, I think there were two fired. One hit forward and blew the bows off, and the other one aft didn't go off. Italian submarine it was. Made a mess of the bow, though. Heck of a mess. But nobody was hurt.
Did the ship was the ship capable of steaming, or...?
We got back to Algiers, went into dock there, and I felt worse off there than at sea because we were torpedoed, we were dive-bombed every minute. It was the beginning of the operation, you see.